You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet,
and story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Alex Dormont's band as doing a rendition of Hot Texas.
And we're delighted that you're with us tonight for episode 161. Whether you're joining us live right now or you pick us up as the podcast, we are just so happy that you have chosen to tune in and join us, because we have quite a show for you tonight.
We do.
Yes. Jim, who are our two guests tonight?
We have Jeff Crawford.
Yes. And here is Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Where are you joining us from?
Hello from Western North Carolina.
All right.
And we have Manuela Snyder.
Hello, Manuela. And Manuela, what time is it where you're at, and where are you?
Howdy, folks. I'm coming in from South Germany, right at the cross, across the Swiss border, and it's 3 a.m. here.
Well, we know that this is your third time joining us, and we just so appreciate, Manuela, that you set that alarm and you get up and you are ready to join us. It's so fun to have you both with us.
I appreciate it. I wouldn't miss it for nothing, never mind the time. I'm so happy to be with you guys again and to see Jeff Crawford again after a long time.
Yeah. Jim, do you want to say a little something about Jeff?
Yeah, we have some bios
and
here.
A little something about Manuela?
Yep. Jeff Crawford was born in Western North Carolina and raised in Central Florida. He was a cowboy as a profession in his late teens, then moved into raising thoroughbreds and Charolais cattle. He now runs a family business, writes suspense novels in various genres, 60 novels to date, and still typing. Wow. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Is it still 60, or have you crossed the, are you into the 60s now, Jeff?
No, I turned in number 61 about a week and a half ago. I've crossed the border.
All right. And then, Manuela, tell us something about
Manuela. Born and raised in Germany, award-winning author, filmmaker, and songwriter, Manuela Snyder's fascination with pioneer life, cowboy heroes, and treacherous outlaws has been her lifelong companion. She fuels her deep interest in the American West by traveling to the historic sites like Tombstone, Mesa Verde, and others. When last we spoke, she had published 7 books in English and German, with 5 new books coming in the publishing process. Welcome, Manuela.
Howdy, howdy. We need to update that. I have published my 21st book now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's something to talk about. Yeah. So, Jeff, you were with us. We're going to start with Jeff. Let's see. You were with us for episode 139 in June of 2025. And we talked about, mostly we talked about the Marshall Micah Gold series, which at that time, I think you had maybe 5, and we talked about 2. So, Jeff, what's been going on with you since June?
Oh, well, I kept working on the Micah Gold series. The number, the goal the whole time was 10 books. And I thought that was going to be the end of it, and I was real pleased to do 10 books. And then I hit that number. Thought I was finished. Thought I had wrapped it up well. And lo and behold, I get a request to do one more. So I'll be starting that one on Saturday as a co-write with J.W. Masterson. And he has a really popular character in his series called Pharaoh Smith, and we're gonna let him meet Micah and see if I can't do some damage.
Very good.
Well, that's fun. And let's see. You write some different series. Did you add anything to the, what's one of my favorites? The Black File Agents.
No, I would like to, I think, at some point, but I haven't had a chance. It felt kind of thin to leave that at four books, but those four books had a lot packed in them. So if I get back to it, it'd be great. And if I don't, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But those were a lot of fun to do. And so I may come back to that. And then I just finished number 61 and sent that to the publisher a week or so ago. That'll be coming out in May of next year as part of a big year-long project that they're having. And that was an experience to do. But that one's behind me, and I'm ready to start this co-write. And then I have two on the calendar to go with after that.
It's amazing to me how you're both prolific, how you're able to just.
We can't read them that fast.
I know, we can't read them that fast. I had them all backed up in my electronic reader, you know. And Manuela, you were with us in February of 2024 for the second time. You were with us in February of 2024, episode 72. And we talked about memoirs of Madame Moustache. And we also had hoped to hit on this one, which I'm still eager to read, The Restless Souls Western, The Unknown Enemy. And the first time you were with us, we talked about The Cult of Destiny. Yes.
It was a great book.
So what have you been up to since February of 2024?
Oh, my Lord. Where do I start? I think one thing that was very dear for me is I wrote the second Madame Moustache book with the tragic years. And both are we labeling German and English now. Then I decided during the research that Madame Moustache or Eleanor Dumont is buried in Bodie, California, and nobody knows the exact location of the grave. And she laid base for blackjack in every casino in the United States. And she was a hell of a character. I mean, like, she had a life worse than any drama made in Hollywood. And I thought, I have to give her a stronger voice apart from the two books. So I decided to produce a featurette, which is like a featurette is like between 40 to 60 minutes movie. And how difficult could it be? Boy, oh boy, it can be very difficult to produce a movie. And what I was not prepared for is that the movie achieved its 41st award, international award, last week or like 2 weeks ago at Will Rogers, where we won a gold medallion. We won France, England, Rome, Italy, New York. We were finalists in Las Vegas. And it was just like that people say it's a classical Western, but not a typical Western. And I was very happy about that because it granted us the chance to bring her life one more time. And then I joined a German publishing house and I'm building up the U.S. or the international department, bringing U.S. authors to German-speaking language countries, bringing German authors to the U.S. or to English-speaking countries, which is for me a dream come true to connect the two continents, because I was born and raised in one and my soul home and all my friends are living in the other continent or on the other continent. And so that's a dream for me come true. And then I produced my first feature movie in October and March 2025. And we just premiered it in Arizona. And I'm working on my second feature, which is like, you know, like shooting 1 week means that you run into 80 to 100 working hours in 1 week. So people should not underestimate. It's brutal. It's really brutal, but it is so rewarding when you see the final product in a movie theater. It's a different way of telling stories. That's all I do is telling stories. I have published the first book of a new series. I have republished literally all my books in two languages now. And I am about to write four or five new books are waiting, you know. So never a boring moment, never a boring moment. I produced my first few movie songs. And there will be more songs in the future in cooperation with Dan Washburn from Canada, Jim Jones. So we are planning, I'm planning literally to do an entire album.
So, oh my goodness.
Too many ideas in my head. I have to get them out.
So exciting. Great. Both of them have, you just doesn't stop. I think, is it the Energizer Buddy, Bunny? Which one is it that, you know, just never, never stops?
That's what they called me on film set in October. They say, oh my God, Manuela, it's like a Duracell bunny. And I say, when do you sleep? I say, well, when I'm dead, I guess, you know.
Shooting's over. Well, we are delighted to have you both with us tonight, because in the next segment, we're going to step away in just a moment. But in the next segment, we're going to talk about this book that the two of you co-wrote, Hope Carries a Flintlock, a Doc Hatcher story, a mountain man adventure, book 9. So don't go away. We are going to take a very quick step away to tell you about our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, which Manuela and us and many, many other authors are part of that group. And what would we do without them, Manuela, right? What would we do without them? So take a listen to this short spot. And when we come back, it's all about Hope Carries a Flintlock. Don't go away. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Reminder with the writer. We're talking to Jeff Crawford and Manuela Snyder. And we're talking about this book, This Flintlock.
Hope Carries a Flintlock. Okay, you two.
You know, we haven't talked about the props. You know, this is about mountain men and perhaps mountain women. So we have a mountain man coat. We got our fringe coats on ourselves.
Yes. Well, you know, because the fun thing is, you know, these shows are themed, and so it's fun when we can actually physically relate somehow to the story. So for those of you that are watching, behind me right here is a buckskin mountain man coat. It is a replica of a coat at the Autry Museum, and it's a favorite thing of ours. Yeah. And individually, we both said to each other, I have an idea. We should put the mountain man coat in the set with us.
So we did.
So, I should have worn my buckskin jacket, but I have my mountain cabin sweater on today, my cozy sweater.
This book, I love this book. I absolutely love this book. And I was going back through it again earlier today and found myself just the world stopped. And I was just reading the prose is so gorgeous. The dialogue is so fabulous. The conflict is so tension filled, and the story is just you two have just created. I just think this is a fabulous story, and readers, you will really enjoy this, both men and women. This is just geared to readers of all ages, just readers. Get it and read it.
You know, we have a question. You know, how do you collaborate on a book? You're thousands of miles away. How did that work out? How did you meet each other?
Yeah. How did it get started?
Well, I thought, like I said about the Micah Gold series, I thought I was done with Doc Hatcher. I had written 8, and I had pretty well used up all the devilment I could get him into. I didn't have anything else left. And then the chief publicist at my publisher called me and said, I know somebody that wants to write a story, a mountain man story, and it's going to be new to them, but they really want to do it. And they want Doc Hatcher involved. Yeah. All right. At least if they'll come with an idea, then I can go with that, 'cause I'm out. And lo and behold, the person was Manuela Schneider, who I knew of by reputation, and it was a large one, and it was a fine one, but I didn't know her. But that took about 5 minutes before she and I became, at least for my part, we became fast friends. And yes. There was a learning curve to get over, the difference between Westerns and a mountain man genre that had to be, tackled a little bit. And there was a language, not issue, but it had its moments. But as far as translating thought to the mountain man type literature and vocabulary, but she was extremely receptive to critique. I wouldn't call it criticisms. It was critique. This is good, but let's do this, and maybe it'll be a little bit better or read a little easier. And I was in no way an expert, but she was very receptive to anything I had to say. And she was extremely uplifting about whatever I had written, and matched it. She followed those breadcrumbs, found the open window, and went right through, just like somebody had been doing it for 50 years, you know. And that was, the whole experience was just terrific. I couldn't have asked for better.
Yeah,
your words really honor me. The thing was that Nick Whale from Dusty Settles has this way of putting a well-known author together with a rookie and co-write to kind of like push the name of the rookie as well. And he said, like, okay, you do a co-write. So me coming from strict Western, he said, Jeff Crawford, the mountain man. So I said, Nick, I don't know two hoots about mountain men except mountains, traps, mountain cabin, and cold in winter. That's all I know, you know. So he said, like, you will do it. And he put a lot of trust in us. And I was aware that Jeff is way the expert on that, because I knew he had this established character in the established series. So he took quite a risk. And so it would have been very ignorant of me if I wouldn't have been open to everything that he had to say about let's do this or let's do that. I knew there was a certain language barrier regarding certain man genre vocabulary. Plus, English is not my mother tongue. And it took like two or three chapters, and the character, I had this kind of prototype mountain man in my head. So the character was beautifully written with a lot of depth and different facets to the character. And I realized there's a beautifully created human being behind the story of Dog Hatcher. So he got me really curious about the character. And I thought if we can keep that curiosity up for readers, it will be a wonderful book. But I learned a lot from him, you know. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I regret about the book is that it was, at some point, it was done and written and published. And Jeff is right. We became friends. And as the publishing circus, because sometimes it's a circus, moves on, goes on, you know, you kind of like miss that cooperation. Mm-hmm. I had that co-writing cooperation with two Dusty Saddles authors. They both became dear friends. I missed them both dearly, I have to say. And it was just beautiful to work with Jeff. Mm-hmm. It was humble, with a lot of mutual respect, with fun, very personal way of working together. And I would do it again in the blink of the eye, because it went surprisingly well. And technology helped to overcome that distance, Jim. With technology nowadays, with Zoom meetings, you have a possibility to, like we do today, to talk face to face. That's the uplifting part of the technology.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's two really strong characters in the book. Of course, Doc the Mountain Man, and we have the Lady Bernadette, and both powerful characters. I was curious myself, did you take turns writing each character, or one of you write one of the characters and one write the other?
No, we took turns with the chapters, but okay. If it happened to fall to where Manuela was going to write about Doc, that was fine. And in the beginning, I had to write about Bernadette because she couldn't speak for herself. It was, you got a real picture of Bernadette through Doc's eyes because he didn't know her. You know, he just That's stumbled. She stumbled across him, actually. And he just happened to be in a position physically and emotionally to where he was ready to help somebody. And it ended up helping him to be able to do that. And you could call it a stroke of luck that she ran across him, but I think it was as lucky for him that she did, because he was kind of in a bad place and getting worse, you know, mm-hmm. But she gave him a reason to get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their relationship is so very special, and it of course grows through the book. But he, you know, he takes it upon himself to be her protector, and just selflessly, you know, he could have just turned his, you know, back on her. But that's just so interesting, the dynamic between the two of them, and what you just said about they both needed, they definitely needed each other. The
I need to ask a strange question here. You know, this play traps.
Oh,
play important part here in the book. And I had a question. The question is, if you lay in the traps, how do you remember where they are?
you put
little yellow flags next to them.
if you ever forget, it'll teach you not to do that again.
That's for sure.
I've been bit once or twice by my own traps when I was a young man. But no, it's just, you know, it's like planting a garden, Jim. I know people that put little stubs at the end of a row with a seed packet on it, so they'll know what they planted.
Right.
I wasn't brought up to do that. Grandpa didn't do that. Daddy didn't do that. I didn't do that. You remembered what you planted and where, and it's the same way with laying traps. You just know what you did and you know why you did it. You think that's a good place to put it because of this reason or that reason. So it sticks out in your mind. It's not like, you did it blind. You recall.
And it's
that's right. Remember,
it's an important, it's a really, creative and important part of the storyline is, so readers, it's not a spoiler alert, but it's another thing that you will enjoy, how the traps become part of this story in a really great, creative way. How did y'all come up with the title, Hope Carries a Flintlock?
I think it was born mainly from the characters, because the lady is in a terrible situation, in a life-threatening situation. So she knew that her problems will follow her, so she needs hope for a better tomorrow. And hope doesn't always come in a sugar-coated version. Sometimes you have to brutally fight for that hope for a better tomorrow. And him being a mountain man, he needed hope too, because like Jeff said, he was in a dark place when she stumbled across him. And he would know how to fight with all bitter consequences to achieve exactly that hope and freedom for her. So sometimes you have to carry loaded guns to achieve that way out of a desperate situation. So we literally combined in the title, we played around with it for a while, and we combined the life situation of both characters in that title, because she needed hope and he was an expert in what he did, including how to use a flintlock. Mm-hmm. And I think the hope part carries for both characters. And like you said, we took turns in the chapter. And when readers say, I would really love to meet and get to know this author, the easiest way to get to know an author is read their books, because every author on this world creates at least one character, like an open window to the author's own soul. If you want to get to know the author, you can be super sure that one of the characters carries more of the personality or the inner thoughts of the author. We don't necessarily say, like, I identified myself with this or that character, but there's not one author who does not put a big part of his or her soul into one of the characters. So when Doc Hatcher, when I went through the chapters that Jeff wrote, I started to understand who and what kind of person Jeff Crawford is. A very unique human being. So you get to know the author on a very personal level if you pay attention. Who is the character that resembles the author? Mm-hmm. Right, Chad? Mm-hmm. We all have our own, our inner own in our characters.
Yeah, every book will have the author's DNA in it. You know, it's like Hemingway said, you just sit down and bleed. And that's what a writer does, no matter what story it is.
Yeah.
Well, again, this was just a wonderful story. We've been talking about Hope Carries a Flintlock, a Doc Hatcher story. It's Mountain Man Adventure Book 9 by today's special guests, Jeff Crawford and Manuela Schneider. We are going to step away one more time quickly just to let our viewers and audience know one of the places that many of the books of our featured authors can be found, and that is our Out West Shop affiliate on bookshop.org. And there'll be more with Manuela and Jeff when we come back, so don't go away. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking about with Jeff Crawford and Manuela Schneider. We've just finished talking about the Mountain Man book. Yeah. Now we're moving on
to two books of Manuela's. And Manuela, you have a deep passion for the American West. And part of it that really seems to have just captured your attention is the mining communities, especially Tombstone, and in its kind of mining heyday. What is it about Tombstone that got your attention just so in such a riveting way?
I think that Tombstone nowadays mainly lives on the history regarding the OK Corral gunfight and the outlaws and the lawmen who lived their life there for a certain amount of years. And I hated, from childhood onwards, I hated injustice, and I always found it very not justified to give all the glory to one side of the history only, because if not for the miners, the town wouldn't be a dot on the map. And it's the same with Bannock, Montana, Virginia, you know, so many boom towns that would not exist if not for the guys chiseling away underground or washing gold in the rivers. And what a lot of people don't know, Germany has a mining history. Some of the mines were run 5 generations in the same family. We have stone and brown coal miners. So I was fascinated about the mining history behind Tombstone. And the more I researched, the more the entire society became fascinated. What happened? Somebody finds silver. Within 2 years, the population goes from 150 miners to a couple of thousand miners. Like, boom, they swarm into the place like that. And with them comes saloons, prostitution. So the entire, it was like a wandering circus going from boomtown to boomtown to boomtown. You had a chance to run into the same people from Virginia City, Nevada, to Bannock, Montana, to Dodge, to Tombstone. They were really literally following each other. So it brought forward a very dynamic historical society, and the people would not even imagine how sophisticated Tombstone was at that time. You could have the best food, even imported fish and seashells and everything. You could get killed every day because Tombstone had a very rowdy, very brutal background, because it was built on the greed of human mankind, greed to strike it rich in the mines. Now, that is something that leads to short short fuse temper, you know, in many cases. Plus, it had numerous saloons. I mean, we're talking even simple 10 saloons. So it is said that Tombstone had over 100 saloons pumping whiskey 24/7. The miners earned well, but, you know, they also knew they would die young at the age because of all the dust, including some real toxic minerals they would breathe in a 12-hour shift every day. The processing of silver contains mercury and other chemicals. So chances to die, the average age of a miner at his death was 37 or 39. So never mind how much money you earned, your chances for a short life were rather high. Then there were fights, knife stabbings. And it was not like Hollywood, you know, tries to tell people, we get into a fight, we go outside, we walk 50 or 40 feet apart, and then we drew like in the Hollywood duel. No, they just said, like, you betrayed it, caught you, cheated, boom, they pulled their gun and bang. That's why they prohibited everybody to wear guns once they set foot in town, because it became so brutal that there were killings every day. And they said Tombstone had a man for breakfast every single day. So the entire society history behind it fascinated me. Plus, the Germans were the biggest immigration group in the 19th century. Between 4.5 to 6 million Germans went to the U.S. hoping for a better tomorrow. A lot of miners were Germans. So when I researched, I was in the hill country of Texas. I was never confronted with my own language and my own culture to such an extent outside German-speaking countries than I was in Texas. It was fascinating. People spoke to me in German. And I thought, like, these are common roots, common history we have, and we have to pay attention to that, because once we realize it's common history, the understanding between the two continents starts to get better. Mm-hmm. I love the town very much. And I was honored with the certificate by the town naming me the honorary consul of Tombstone in German-speaking countries. That was a huge honor for me. I was very intrigued by that. I never expected that. Yeah. Plus, I have real close friends there who became family. So Tombstone became a home with all its rowdy past. It's history.
You had a quick.
I just want to quickly say that, you know, Bobby and I visited Tombstone one time. I think we were there a couple of times. That one time we got there, everybody in Tombstone was German.
Was German, yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my soulmate friends, Joel Jim Barker, actually. He was one of the closest friends I ever had in life. He is the reason why I became an author, because I wanted to honor the incredible friendship we developed while we both worked on the same dude ranch. By writing a story and putting him in as main character. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why I started to write book, you know.
We have,
and he was another chimp.
Yeah. we have two books, and I'm just kind of looking at time. We just want to talk about each of them kind of shortly, Manuela. The first one that I read, I couldn't put it down and I couldn't sleep at night either. And this is The Restless Souls and Haunted Places, Book One, Unforgiving Residents. And there's a little bit of a paranormal story going on here. Tell us about the Birdcage Theater and how does it play a role in this book?
Well, the Birdcage Theater is my favorite building, and it's supposed to be haunted. The Birdcage Theater is one of the rare original structures that got never hit by the two big fires they had in Tombstone. So it opened Christmas 1881, and it exists ever since because it's an adobe building, so it did not get damaged by the fire. It was a theater, entertaining place, a saloon. They gambled there, and it is said to have quite a streak of prostitution that happened in the building. It is a fascinating building. Most of the paranormal TV shows have shot footage there because people experience eerie stuff in that building, which is not astonishing because, you know, if people killed each other in saloons, chances are that people died in the birdcage too. And I interviewed over 50 people who have experienced weird stuff happening to them in Tombstone, especially in the historical buildings. So I wove the story around that. And I have photo footage, stuff that I took pictures of, which are not necessarily explainable. Not even the University of Arizona can explain certain things that I captured on picture, technically. And there are a lot of legends about the building. And so it was time to do something like that. There are eerie spots all over the U.S. where big battles happened or killings happened.
Jeff, do you have any questions or comments for Manuela? When two authors talk, there's nothing like it. We'll be quiet.
No, I'm having a ball sitting here listening. Before I ever decided to jump into trying writing, I was a reader and a listener. I grew up listening to stories, haunted stories, and been to some of those haunted places, and I've been down in the mines. There's a gold mine 2.5 miles from my back door that I've gone in to where it was tight enough to where we were laying on the ground and the rocks were against our back. They went in so far looking for gold, and I've been in those places. So no, everything she's talked about and been writing about is just of huge interest to me. So I'm just having a ball listening.
Now, there is another book story, Mr. Crawford. Let's do a series, a haunted series.
The second one, Tombstone Silver, I've only gotten about halfway through. I will finish this probably tonight. Another really great story. Is there just a sentence or two you'd like to say about this one, Manuela?
Tombstone Silver is dedicated to the silver mining, but it contains characters who really lived and worked in Tombstone. It is a classical Western with unexpected twists. It's about one of the leading red light district ladies who really came to Tombstone with a traveling circus, performed at the birdcage for a time, and a typical miner who comes to strike it rich, and jealousy and alcohol was a big problem those days in that town, and it leads to a very tragic drama where these two main characters have to somehow wiggle out of it. But my books not necessarily always have a happy end. So, spoiler alert.
Well, as readers, we really enjoy that you uncover the stories, that there are real people that are in these stories and that you are bringing them to light, characters that have been overlooked. They've been overshadowed by the bigger names maybe in an area. And it's really delightful that you have brought such with such passion and in such a really wonderful way as a reader to access these characters, whether it's a Madame Moustache, you know, or it's Lorraine Bernard in the Tombstone Silver book. So
we are considering a film series about those characters. if not Mr. Crawford would have put another film idea in my head to do a film about the dog Hatcher and
yes.
His new female sidekick story. That would make a hell of a movie. I was thinking about that. And it's always bad if somebody puts a film idea in my head. I get like two nights in a row. Like, how can we do that?
We're witnesses to that conversation, right, Jeff?
Yes, ma'am. We were there.
I'm in double trouble. I have witnesses now.
I am looking at time. We're going to skip our Out West Shop ad. Just know that Jim and I and our company, OutWestShop.com, are also sponsors for the program. We'd rather talk to you guys. So let's see. Jeff, what have you got going next? And even if you mentioned it already, mention it again. And where and when and how can we find you?
The biggest thing I have going right now, and you have to wait till May to get it, is a project that Dusty Saddle Publishing is leading the charge on in publishing, and that's the celebration of America's 250th birthday next year. And to do that, they're going to release 12 special edition books, one a month by a different author, about a pivotal character in American history, set in a fictitious setting. You have to be true to the character as best you can, but you can make them do anything you want in these. And that made an interesting dynamic because you could have a lot of fun and the gates were wide open, but you still had all of those people out there that are going to be big fans of this character through history and for a lifetime. So you had to be honest as you could. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a lot of great people being written about by a lot of great writers, and somehow I got my nose in under the tent. I don't know how I got picked to do it, but I was real fortunate, and I selected Tom Horn to write about. And you'll get to see Tom Horn in action before some of his downfalls.
And mark your calendar. Jeff will be back here with us on May 14th, 2026, and we will be talking about that book. Manuela, right. We have 1 minute for you to tell us where people can find you and all that good stuff.
You can find the co-writes I did under Dusty Saddle Publishing and Amazon, all book platforms. All my books are on all book platforms in two languages, Amazon. You can contact us directly at AK2 Publishing. And I'm sure Dusty Saddles will give you also contacts where you can get the co-writes, like Hope Carries a Flint's Log. And I'm going to produce my second feature, and I have four historical books coming. One of them is nonfiction, actually, and the Texas series will continue with book two very early in 26.
Yes, and you will be back with us with Natalie Bright, the co-writer. We'll be talking about the Texas series. And that's on January 29th. So while you have out your 2026 calendar, make
and
a note.
And movies.
And you will be back with us, I think it's April 2nd, with Peter Schirico and Henry C. Park to talk Western film. We are just delighted that you were both with us tonight. Jim, you have a quote?
We have. Just a short passage here. Our protagonist, number one character, Doc Hatcher. He's sharing an insight about life with Bernadette. Life has more currents and eddies than any forceful river. Stand on the bank of life all day as you would on that river until you decide which current you are to let carry you towards what you believe to be your final destination. And all you will know with the swiftness of the river has slowed enough for you to get your bearings, is that you are not where you believed you would be. It is the way of things. is a way for everyone.
You're such good writers. Next week, we welcome back Bill Markley and Kellen Cutsforth. And they write together, again, co-writers. They like to wrangle over the truth and a variety of notorious Western stories. And they will be wrangling over Tom Horn and Calamity Jane. So join us next week. Do you have any parting comment?
Thanks for joining us. And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
And we'll keep reading.
See you down the trail.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night, Manuela.
Good night. Happy trails.
Good morning.